That's a good question. How do you have an iron backbone and a heart of flesh and not of stone? Good question. Joanna?
You have conviction that you have more of God.
Very good. That's exactly it. You have convictions and you have the heart of God, and they are complementary. They are not mutually exclusive. An iron backbone is what gives me a heart of flesh. It's not that I'm hard-hearted. It's that I'm firm in my faith. And my convictions go from everything, in everything. Convictions regarding sin, certainly. About righteousness, purity. Absolutely, I have those kind of convictions. But also, convictions regarding grace and mercy and forgiveness. Those are also convictions. A lot of believers will have convictions. Believers are so weird. Christians are weird. They really are. A lot of Christians have a conviction, okay, young people must not have premarital sex even though it's okay for them to make out. So it's okay to take a running start and stop on a dime. Okay, that's their conviction. Okay, well, first of all, they're dead wrong. Neither one's fine with God at all. Second of all, they'll have that conviction, but they won't have convictions regarding forgiveness or mercy or gentleness or kindness or goodness, the weightier things. Right? Isn't that what Jesus said to the Pharisees? You know, you've tithed of all these things, mint and cumin and whatever it was, and you've left the weightier things of the law undone. The weightier things are the things that Christians frequently lack convictions about. They have convictions about the easy things. If it's duh, I'll have convictions about it. Right? No premarital sex. Well, duh. Right? No forgiveness. Right? How many Christians, believers, how many pastors are there? Somebody in their church fails and they won't forgive them. Right? They have a failure and they don't forgive. They left the weightier things undone. They left the blood of Christ unapplied. They violate the heart of God in a pseudo effort of self-righteousness to honor the law of Moses. And Jesus said, Moses will judge you, to those people. Moses judges them. I wouldn't want Moses to judge me. I can't do a, whatever, 430 some odd laws. I can't do them. I can't even remember them. I can't do that. But they fail in the weightier matters. So the person who through the weakness of their flesh failed, failed in the weakness of their flesh. But the other failed the Holy Spirit. The other failed the grace of God. It's a much bigger failure. There was actually in Proverbs chapter 6 of the seven sins that God hates the most, there was only one that was overt. There were mental sins, there were verbal sins, and only one overt sin. That was murder. And that was because it took away a person's free volition. Christians will fail on the six, and they'll feel very good about themselves because they haven't failed the seventh. Their tongue is nasty. Their attitude is arrogant. But they haven't killed. They fail on six and feel good for not having failed the seventh. A lot of believers like that. Or people get divorced. I mean, yeah, divorce is not a good thing. It's a terrible thing, right? God forbid. But it happens. It happens. One person leaves the other. It happens. One person throws out the other. It happens. And then Christians want to hold that person in bondage. And it doesn't matter if they're the ones who were guilty or not. They want to hold that person in bondage. As if somehow they had, one, the right, and two, the righteousness. They hold that other person in bondage. Well, no, it's not a good thing if people get divorced, but it happens. So what do? So you love and restore. They say, well, you can't get married again. You were married before. I was at school, looking at a so-called Christian college. But I heard their messages. They were pathetic. And one of the questions in their application is, you know, this was their reference thing. Has this person ever been married? Are they divorced? You know what? If you're asking those kind of questions, you have already failed the grace of God. You know why? Because God doesn't remember sin, and you want to find it out. I would never go to a school that asked that question. Because that's not a finished work school. They don't know God. They know Moses. Well, I'm not saved by Moses. I'm saved by the Savior. I wouldn't dream of some of the schools that are out there. By the way, those of you who are thinking about going to college, you had darn well better make sure that you are called where you're going. You don't go there because they offer a program. Everybody and their cousin offers a program. You go there because you're called. Yeah, that's the thing. Young people who make up their mind with absolutely no regard to the will or calling of God as to what school they're going to go to. Well, fine. Enjoy the Laodicean world. I'm talking about the Christian places. I'm not even talking about secular. You better make sure you're calm there. Oh, people leave their calling. People leave the word of God. I'm going to go to school over there. Why?
Because they teach this.
Oh, that's really intelligent. Learn to have an eternal viewpoint. One of the greatest barriers for the believer is the maturity barrier. Some believers never break the maturity barrier, and some do. But that is a huge barrier to the believer, is the maturity barrier. The greatest barrier in the Christian life is the maturity barrier. And the maturity barrier is not going to be something I can overcome if I am not willing for certain things in God's way of doing things. Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the demons were attacking him, in the Garden of Gethsemane, all the demons were attacking him. And the purpose was to kill him prior to the cross. And Luke says that he sweated blood. And there is a condition where the stress on the body is so great that a person will actually have blood come out of their pores. It's usually fatal. He perspired blood because all the demons were trying to kill him. They were trying to spill the blood and kill the Savior prior to the cross so that the fulfillment of the promise could not come to pass. And Jesus said to the Father, Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, though, thy will be done, not mine. Thy will. And this is the crux of the maturity barrier. Thy will be done, not mine. It sounds simple, but it's profound, and it goes into the farthest depths of the heart. As a believer, I can say, yes, I want God's will. But the words and the attitude are meaningless. The heart is where the issue is. My heart needs to be such that my heart towards God's plan, towards God's calling, is thy will, not mine, be done. That requires something. And believers, I don't care how you slice it, believers just don't like it. And some will actually react at you for telling them this. That requires that a seed fall into the ground and die. The kernel of wheat has to fall into the ground and die, or it abides alone. If the kernel falls into the ground and dies, it'll bear much fruit. There's the maturity barrier. Maturity with Christ is for me to live with is Christ. For me to live is Christ. There is maturity with Christ. But many believers, I dare say most believers, they never break the maturity barrier. They will always have this reservation where, what do I want? This is what I want. This is what I like. This is what makes me feel good. What about me? What about you? Don't you realize that that statement, what about me, is actually the thing that holds you in death and bondage? What about me leaves you in death and bondage? You're going to serve somebody. You can't help it. That is the way we are made. We will serve someone. We either serve the old man or we serve the new man. It's that simple. We will serve someone. You see, if the kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it bears much fruit. There's fruit there. There's real life there. There's fullness and fulfillment there. That little refusal of fall into the ground and die, people think of it in terms that it is not. People think of it as some horrible thing, some self-denial ascetic thing. But it's not. What it is the realization that the life of God is greater. It's more bountiful. It is beautiful. The life of flesh is a desolate life. This is where I run into my problems and my aggravations and my grievances and my difficulties and the pain and all these things that trouble me all the time. It's in the old man. Oh, it's just my flesh. You're just telling me it's my flesh. Yeah, it is. I'm sorry, but that's the Word of God. That's the Word of God. If you don't like it, take it up with Him. He's the one who wrote it. That's the Word of God. God is trying to counsel people, and people reject His Word. If the wheat, kernel of wheat, doesn't fall into the ground and die, it will never break the maturity. That is the maturity barrier. That's it, right there. That's the maturity barrier. And until that happens, there is no way I'm going to say, thy will, not mine, be done. I might get killed there. No, you won't. You're going to find your life there. There is no safer place. You're going to get killed where you are. The maturity barrier is an unbelievably potent barrier. Because self can't get through. You see, my immaturity is self. That's when I act like an idiot. When it's self. When I'm looking at myself. When I'm worried about what I like, what I don't like, what makes me feel good, what doesn't make me feel good, what do I want, what don't I want. You know what? Knock yourself out. You're not having any fun, are you? Why do you think that is? Self. The life of God is beyond there. People wonder why they don't experience the life of God. Because you're experiencing the life of self. And that's not a condemnation thing. That is where everyone starts. It's just a question of, are you going to get beyond it or not? I am human. Humans have a flesh. I am human. Humans have a flesh. I have a flesh. So the question is, will I have a flesh or won't I have a flesh? Yes, I have a flesh. Get over it. You're a human being. The real question is, will I break the maturity barrier and allow God's nature to take over my nature? Or that only comes through the corn of wheat falling into the ground and dying. I think people get hung up on the words of that. Well, that means I have to, boom, fall into the ground and die. And that doesn't sound very appealing. Okay, let's put it this way. How about if you exchange your life for God's life? Because that's what you're doing. That's the maturity barrier. Exchange your life for God's life. And once that exchange is made, you've broken the maturity barrier. Not that your flesh has disappeared. It's that you don't live in it. You live in the life of God. And when you live in the life of God, once you break that maturity barrier, that's where things get easy. I don't mean easy as in I'll have no troubles. I mean easy as I'll have the life of God quickening me. That's where the joy comes. Joy doesn't come before I break the material barrier. Joy comes afterwards. Christians think their life is about their happiness. No, it's not. It's about their maturity. Growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, being conformed to the image of His Son. Once I'm conformed to the image of the Son of God, as I am being conformed into the image of His Son, that's where I find life, I find joy, I find peace, I find all the fruits of the Spirit. I find fullness, satisfaction, contentment. People try to get fullness and satisfaction and contentment like the world does. And they never find it, so they become very frustrated, very upset, and very discouraged. When all along, it was there, right there in front of them and available, but they simply wouldn't take it up. Because self was too important. Well, if self's too important, then I'll never break the maturity barrier. Many Christians don't break the maturity barrier. Never. Because they're never willing to let go of self. And so they stay in the same old things, even though they may be in a great church, receiving great preaching, and there's real life there. It's a Philadelphia real church. But they never get transformed. Self. God doesn't change self. God replaces self with Himself. I give him myself, and in return he gives me himself. And that's where I get to know him. That's where I get to know him. It's not a negative thing at all. It's an extremely hope-filled, positive thing. The life of God exchanged for the life of a man. And can you imagine the life of God in you? That's the maturity barrier. You know, people can hold on to self if they want to. But man, what a miserable way to live. That's just misery. God's promises are there. God's goodness is there. The sweetness of a communion with Him is there. And that's what He offers me. That's what's on the other side of the maturity barrier. What did Jesus say in one sense of this only? Don't misunderstand, this is in one sense only. What did Jesus say to the thief that turned to Him on the cross and said, "Remember me"? He said, "Today you will accompany me into paradise." What do you find on the other side of the cross? "Today you will accompany me into paradise." What was paradise? The presence of God. The life of God. Eternal life. "Today you'll accompany me into eternal life." "Today you will accompany me into the presence of God. Today you will accompany me into holiness, into righteousness and goodness, into all that God is." That's the maturity barrier. People look down, like they just look down. They look at their circumstances, they look at people, they look at their lives. Some people look at illnesses. Some people look at money. Some people look at whatever, relationships. And they look down. This is why so many people have such a problem with the dating thing. Because they haven't broken the maturity barrier in that area. This is why some of you guys are so beautiful about the dating thing. Because you have broken the maturity barrier in that area. But people look down. And God says, "Will you please look up? I'm right here. Will you please look up? I have all this to offer you. Will you please look up?" Some people will, some people won't. The maturity barrier is the biggest barrier that the Christian faces. And it's a barrier from death unto life. They think that life is not as good as death. If you really think about it, that's what it boils down to. They think that life is not as good as death. Are you kidding? Life is far above death. Far exceeds it. God wants to make a person a spiritual billionaire and they're worried about their nickel. That's the maturity barrier. "Thy will, not mine, be done," can only come if the seed falls into the ground. If it doesn't, you see, this is the part. "I don't want to die." Okay, but do you realize what that means? You abide alone. You abide apart from God. You abide apart from genuine fellowship. You abide apart from all the provisions that God has. You abide from the experience, the full experience of the love of God. You abide from contentment. You abide apart from peace that passes understanding. not just a remote sense of vagueness, okay, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay, but peace that passes understanding. But if it falls into the ground and dies, it bears a great deal of fruit because there's a great deal of life. That's the maturity barrier. Some believers will never break it. Some believers will live way beyond it. And they will experience the fullness of the life of God. It's the maturity barrier.